8:35 on the clock.
Available.
Why would they think it would go down?
It's 8:45 on the clock. We'll call to order the Board of Supervisors meeting, and we'll recite the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And I thought those were in reverse order.
The Open Meetings Act is posted on the east wall. Attendance by observation, Juergens, Hill, Bauman, Dorn, Lytle, Byers, and Thiemann. The consent agenda. Number one is general agenda. Number two, approve the minutes of the meeting held January 6, 2016. Approve all claims through January 20, 2016 in the amount of $1,032,439.63, except claim number 16010177 to Beatrice Lawn Care in the amount of $50 to be voted on separately below. Approve and place on file correspondence received. Approve district court summary fee report and register of deeds statement of fees for the month of December 2016. And approve specification and call for fuel bids. Entertain a motion to approve or disapprove.
I would move to approve the consent agenda.
Second.
Motion by Byers, seconded by Thiemann. Any comments? I didn't look at the claims real close. We're over $1 million. Did we transfer some?
We transferred $506,000.
Okay. We transferred $506,799.05. I believe most.
911
and insurance. Oh, okay. $106,799.05 to the 911 fund. And insurance fund, we transferred $400,000 to.
Operating the funds.
Those funds transferred from general fund. Terry?
I just wanted to note this. So out of the road fund, we spend another $45,495 approximately from four different suppliers for rock and gravel again and salt, road salt. So there's about $45,000 is where that's going to. So,
okay, Matt.
Also note that there's a couple. You'll start to see easement payments come across for Hickory Road. You'll see those come across there. There's two that are on here now, and there'll be actually there's four. Then there'll be more coming across.
Yeah, several of the Hickory Road easements, as they have come back, they've been filing those with registered deeds, and when we file those, and the claim has been coming through. So, some of the names listed on there are for their easement payments along Hickory Road. So. Any more questions, comments? Vote. Gary, 7-0 to approve. Entertain a motion to approve or disapprove claim number 16010177 to Beatrice Lawn Care in the amount of $50. Then the total amount for the claims approved will be $1,032,489.63. That's...
I would move to approve claim number 16010177 to Beatrice Lawn Care in the amount of $50.
Second.
Motion by Byers, seconded by Hill. Vote. Six in favor with Thiemann abstaining. Comments from the public and requests for future agenda items. Again, not seeing any, we'll move on to committee reports. Building and grounds, winter lights.
Okay, Dave Jones, our expert in charge of building and grounds.
Good morning. We just had a short committee meeting. I did bring up the probation offices to build a wall around the stairwell for better security for that building, and so I'm working on getting three bids for that. And... the other thing would have been we've always had an issue with Northeast 6 cell area at the detention center. Has been cold. We looked at the duct work, and I think it just trunks down too small. So we're going to have an extra circuit run back there and have some permanent electrical heat installed in that area. And then the third thing was a property down in Wymore that you had asked. I did get some pictures, but I can pass that around. We just pretty much boarded up the front, and the back is actually so open that we just put a board at the gate. I think I'll still take a wire panel down there and to secure it up better.
And this is a property down in Wymore. They had a sheriff's auction maybe 2 weeks ago or a week 2 weeks sure. ago at the courthouse steps, and nobody bid on that property. Andy Carruthers was here with the city of Wymore. He's their legal counsel, and they did bid on some houses and get those. But this one here, nobody bid on it at that sheriff's auction. And we're going to visit more with our legal counsel and other things. But then they asked Amanda, and if nobody bids on it, then the county has to bid on that. And so she put a $10 bid in, and that's why the claim came through, and now the county is owner of this property. We will be in closed session having a discussion later on how we proceed maybe with that or whatever, because this, I guess,
with the radio station expanding and we're going to have TV, yeah. I would almost think maybe we could donate that to them for a
Southern
office.
We could donate it to them, yes. that is one of the options we'll discuss then. Yeah, I don't think they'll take it. But.
Or if Doug and Scott would like to get into a bidding war over this, I'm sure we could.
Yeah, and so we did have Dave at our committee meeting. We talked about it a little bit, and we did have Dave go down and board up the front because the front was kind of open yet and everything and other things. So we are we will be having ongoing discussion of, I guess, maybe why the county ended up with it, and we'd really like to find out more about that, and then how do we proceed, or where do we, what do we do with this, I guess. It's, I guess I'll just say this. There's been a shock looked on our face when we found out that the county's the owner of that property down there. So, and now we are, so we're going to proceed and see what we do with it. I don't know yet. It's an unknown. I'll just say that.
Somebody
had to win the lottery. I don't know if this was a lottery. This wasn't. We were. Yes.
I don't think we're alone. I think this is happening all over, and the city has been going through with some buildings downtown, the same type of thing. And so when the owners just want to walk away and they have nothing to do with it anymore, but we'll discuss that later.
Yeah, we'll discuss that in closed session and get more of an update from Roger. And I guess,
it's a unique fixer-upper.
You fixer upper. It's past the fixer upper. We did. A bunch of us did go down and look at it. Wow. Some of us. I know John was familiar with it. I went down and looked at it.
I went down and looked at it.
I was more in shock. It's
maybe there's somebody in California that wants to be a property owner in the Midwest.
We did visit. Eric and I did visit a little bit with Lori, and she explained, and we'll probably have her up here explaining what the process was, why it went through, and it wasn't just a thing that happened in 1 month. It's a process of over years, multiple years, why it ended up getting to this. And then, because our concern was if one could do it, well, how comes others maybe wouldn't be interested in it? And according to Lori, that's a process that is very, very unlikely to happen. And she said that the county ending up with something like this is very, very unusual. So, because I told her we didn't want to start buying properties. So, yeah. And I know that's not where most of these processes want to end up at, but we thank Dave for going down and at least boarding it up and stuff. Yes. And since we are the owner of that property now, the county. So, we thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Dave.
On something like that, do we have to start maintaining that for snow, things like that? I mean, that was something I thought for somebody walking by. There's not really grass, but I mean, just so that is locked off so no one can get to the back. I mean, there's potential hazards there.
That is maybe something we'll visit with legal counsel about. I do not have an answer for that. Dave, did you want these back or just leave me? Yeah. I don't have an answer for some of those things because the county usually isn't in the business of acquiring properties, you know, so.
How is the city of Wymore not responsible for that? Why would the county have to be the one to take that over?
That's a good question.
They took several that same day, I guess, too.
They did. According to John, you visited with
That's what Lori told me, yes.
Lori did, that they purchased several houses. This wasn't the only property on the sheriff's auction that day. There were others that were auctioned off. And like I said, Andy was there. My understanding, Andy Crothers was there, and then he did purchase the house, several of the houses.
Several of them, yeah, that they wanted.
That they wanted, but this one here, they did not.
I don't know why.
Yeah. It does bring up a lot of issues of what, you know, especially for properties that fall under a city jurisdiction, and they have some limited control over them. And
well, they don't have a process like we do, so we've got to work together.
Right.
So, fortunately, it doesn't come up a lot. But
yep, that's right.
What it does is, you know, we'll talk about what the options are, yeah. Right?
It's all part of the statutes on property, on tax liens, tax foreclosures, and something that we have to do when people don't pay their taxes. Ultimately, it ends back up in our lap. And we foreclose, we do all the legal publications, and if you watch, you'll see those properties in the legal publications. The south door or the north door of the courthouse, we're going to have an auction on that property at a certain time, a certain day. And so we can go over it, but it's nothing new. This is something been going on for years, and maybe we're just seeing a few that are kind of popping up and hitting us in the stomach.
Equalization.
Everything going good.
Finance, insurance. No report. Human resources.
Nope.
Law enforcement, emergency management.
See, I think the main thing that we discussed on Friday, Gus had done a pre-inspection, and I think we're ready for the fire marshal to come visit. That's the main thing, I guess, that we discussed. Tim was sick, so we didn't have any emergency management discussion, and quite frankly, the bridge discussion that happened shortly after that kind of blew everything else out of my mind. That's all I can remember from Friday, quite honestly.
I'll pass this around to Carla Jones, who's the communications director down there. And this is what I talked about, the EMS, fire agencies. They're going to have a users group meeting on starting the last Thursday of every month, and then it'll be January 28th. They're going to have one at 7 o'clock down at the fire department or whatever. So, and everyone sure can attend that if they want to, but that's for the EMS and the fire.
When is this, Meyer?
January 28th at 7 o'clock down there. But she is going to implement monthly meetings so that we did attend there the last week of December, attended a meeting that was having some issues with Firth and between Lancaster County and Gage County, not always they're getting responded or whatever. So she was there, and the Lincoln people were there. We did up in Firth, and they brought up some calls that were like a year old. Well, they can go back and check out calls. It's really easy to go back a week or two, maybe a month, to check out calls, check out the recordings and that type of stuff. And the main point they wanted to emphasize, if you're bringing up a call from a year ago, number one is the dispatcher probably doesn't remember anything. And most of those tapes aren't around anymore. They might have some written stuff, but they won't have other things. So that's one of the reasons why they're going to go to a monthly meeting again. And years ago they had these. The attendance dropped off, so they quit having them. Well, they're finding out that there are, and it's not complaints; it's just concerns. You know, if you're out there and you're on a rescue squad and your pager doesn't work and or whatever with that call, those are the things they're going to try and work through. So,
Myron, is that the fire department classroom? Is that where they're having it?
She called it in the police department training room. Department training okay. room. I'll say that. Yeah.
I assume we'll send Tim.
Yes.
All these.
Yeah. Yeah. Tim knows about it. Tim got this email too and stuff and everything. So.
Byron. Communications. Just to talk about a little bit. I had talked with Mike Jeffries to try and have a meeting set up, and I had my wires crossed, and so I had an 8 o'clock meeting, and it was at 10. So I visited with Chief Deputy Klaus, and we talked a little bit about the communications with the statewide system, and so he has visited with Mike Jeffries, but I don't know the content of that. I talked with Tim yesterday
I went down to emergency management, talked to him a little bit, and he's had a conversation with Doug Ostergaard from First Wireless. And so there's still, I think, a desire to have the communications tower somewhere on the east edge of Gage County, but they're just not making any progress to get that done. Chief Deputy did say that he does believe, because of the repeaters and things that are put in the cars, that the communications for the Sheriff's Department aren't quite as critical. I mean, there's still occasionally spots that are missed from time to time, but it didn't seem to be a critical issue as it had been in the past. So some of those resources we put out there have fixed that. But there still is the tower that's down there, and what is repeated off that tower and what covers basically 20% of southeast Gage County into even down into Odell. So I think there's a meeting they were going to try and come to maybe
the 17th or the 3rd.
Or later this was the 20th?
Today's the 20th.
Yeah. I was looking at the February. I'm off the 17th.
17th? Okay.
So there is communication. There is still conversation going on about that, about what to do, because that's still that albatross is hanging out there we still have to deal with.
If anything else? Otherwise, we do have a timed event on the clock at 9 o'clock. Our Veterans Honor and Phil.
Morning. This month, our honored veteran is Reynold Novotny, longtime Gage County resident. Reynold joined was drafted into the Army in July of 1942. He started his active duty service in August of 1942, and he separated from the service in December of 1945. Some of his awards include the American Service Medal, Asiatic Pacific Service Medal, World War II Victory Medal, and the Good Conduct Medal. Some of the rarities of his service are that he served in the Aleutian Islands and with ground combat. So he's one of the only veterans I know that served on American soil in ground combat during World War II. After he left the Aleutian Islands, after the Japanese left, they sent him back to the States, and then after he was in the States for a while, he went back over into the Pacific Theater to serve the rest of his time till 1945. So at this time, I'd like to introduce Reynold Novotny.
You got something you want to say, Reynold?
No, I don't.
Go ahead. Do you got something you want to say?
God, no, y'all.
I've known Reynold for a long time. He's from the Odell area. And the reason I know him, we've got a connection, he was a local welder there for years and years and years and did a great job for the community down there. So on behalf of the Gage County, I would like to award you with this certificate and this small token of our appreciation, Reynold. Thank you very much.
Can you hold it for me?
Sure.
Smile, Terry.
Once again, Reynolds has been an outstanding citizen of Odell for as long as I can even remember. So he's a great guy. Thank you, Reynolds.
Thanks. Thank you.
No, thank you. Thank you.
Oh, okay.
Oh, there's a story. I didn't know that. I've been on the
Aleutian
Islands.
Oh, I guess I did.
Yeah.
That's all. This last kid. Yeah, go way out across the, almost to Japan.
You bet. That is very rare.
The trivia question is, was there ever any fighting on American soil in World War II? I don't know.
I didn't even realize the Japanese were taken.
Getting fewer and fewer around.
later.
Before you sit down, put your coat on, Dad.
Oh, well, he'll do it
outside. Thank you. That is picturing the class, so I don't drop it.
Reynolds, we Reynolds.
Can't hear him.
Phil.
Okay. We thank you. Thank you very much. Yeah. We'll go back to our committee reports, and we have one more yet. Road and bridge.
Okay, Myron. It'll be hard to follow that, but here we go. A few of these, I'll go over them. You know, the Barnes Bridge, that's coming up on the agenda, as well as discussion on one-year road plan. That's coming up on the agenda, too, so I won't get in-depth on that. Bridge crew's been inspecting bridges. They have, Galen estimated, approximately 250 bridges to inspect. Barnston Bridge discussion, we'll get into that a little later. Cost. The county will have a safe, or the road and bridge will have a safety training meeting on February 24th at 7:30 a.m. at the extension office. Also discussion on Hickory Road funding, options on funding. Haven't quite that all finalized yet, but we're working on it. Also discussion on fence. Hopefully the landowner will be at our February 17th meeting, and we'll see what we can get worked out there.
I visited with him. He called back, and yes, he plans on being here at a February 17th meeting. The Richard Reimer does, who has that fence with that property and stuff. So
great.
I did send him one more email, too, with somewhat of another offer, so we'll see how that goes or not. That was just done this morning. Another thought I had, I guess. So we're still visiting with them and stuff. So
one thing I do want to say, you know, on this Hickory Road project, Myron has spent hours and hours and hours on that. I mean, everybody, the time he's spent on that is just unbelievable to me. So I want to thank him for the work he's done on that to get it this far.
I thought when we had the bids done on the road, we were done, but we're not. There's still some other, and this is just part of it. We have some fences along there, and that needs to be taken care of too. Yeah. Yet, so we're working at that, and we're having some discussions back and forth. And he made the offer there a couple months ago that he would be glad to come to the board meeting, and that's where our last meeting ended up at. That. Said, you bet. Board love to have him come. So that's where we're at. I do have one more quick thing here on the over the last several meetings. We've been talking about that Adams Northwest Bridge project, and at our committee meeting, we had a letter back from the Road and Bridge Department there at the state or whatever, basically outlining why, I guess, we were denied, and that it's been such a long time or whatever. That's a real short synopsis of it. And at our committee meeting, there was discussion of it. Should get a hold of Senator Baker again, or maybe the Department of Roads. And that on the way home that day, I did visit with Janet Anderson, then her legislative aide for Senator Baker. And she visited with Senator Baker, and they did come up with another letter. They forwarded one more letter on to Governor Ricketts and asking, because of the fact that standards board has never set a date, a definite date, when they were going to end allowing a relaxation of those standards, they felt that they had a legitimate argument there with the governor, and they sent a letter to the governor, and I gave that copy of that to everybody, what they did. So she said she doesn't know, you know, if where this will proceed or happen, or if anything comes about it. But she also did say that she made the comment to me, you can only not push, but you can only work at an issue like that so long, and then after a while, then you have to that's what happened, and you have to let it go, she said.
Push is a good word.
Push, there you go. That's the word I was looking for. And but they were more than glad to, and her and Senator Baker came up with this letter, and Roy forwarded that on to the governor. So I told her we'd wait an answer back or see how that maybe comes about, too, to see if that can help us.
I'm sure they'll follow through. They'll see, give it a little time for the governor to respond, and they'll follow
And they've
through.
Been, Senator Baker and Janet have been very, very good. They've called, emailed, or whatever, and kept me really informed and been trying to pass that all on to everybody else. So,
well, what's the, and Danny maybe help me understand the appropriate decorum, does the, in the state of Nebraska, does the governor have the executive authority to intervene with the roads, with the Department of Roads and say, grant that?
This yes. Is, this isn't the Department of Roads necessarily
or
either.
Or the Board of Classifications. I mean, but they have the opportunity to
yes.
do that.
he can have some significant influence on their decision.
Eric?
He also appoints each of them, so I would think that would be, you know, a pretty good push. But this is, I have to give Senator Baker credit. I think he put together a good. I had asked
Very
Myron
good.
If we should go up there and meet with him, and I think he put together a good letter here. I mean, it should get the point across. You know, there's no date. We've still never been given a reason why this wasn't granted. It lists in the letter we're blowing another $50,000 or $60,000 of taxpayer money, regardless of where it comes from. This goes against the governor's ideas where we're trying to stretch dollars further. This is saying don't stretch them. So I think the governor will take a look at this, and it's another example of a non-elected board that's causing elected boards to spend more money for no benefit. So I'm still optimistic here. I don't know if anything's going to change or not, but we've brought some attention to it at least. And like I say, I have to give Senator Baker credit for at least passing this on and making a good attempt for us. He didn't have to do that, so I'm glad that he at least got a good letter for us.
They really took a sincere interest in this and this situation or concern of ours, I guess. So I really
Absolutely.
Appreciate that, and I've told them both that too and stuff. So I really thank them for their help. So I think that's all I had on Road and Bridge. Yep. Anything else?
Other than the 1 and 6, I spent quite a few hours bothering Galen down there yesterday looking at these projects, and I kind of tried to pencil them in, what's on the 1 year, what was completed, and what's ahead of us, and what was added to the 6 year. So I've got a real rough thing here if anybody'd like to look at it. But otherwise, there's a... we can talk about this.
We'll have that in yeah. 1 and 6 year. We have later on discussion
yeah.
on
yeah.
the 2016 1 and 6 year road plan
yeah.
and stuff, and then we'll give the dates in there because of a certain
yeah.
date February we have to have that passed. I do, if nothing more in Road and Bridge, I'll just talk a little bit more about the wind farm. Our zoning regulations on the wind farm so did Doug and Scott. They both attended the zoning board meeting last time. They have set their public hearing for February the 11th. There's a good likelihood that they hopefully will forward or pass, approve, however you want to call it, their recommendation onto this board. And I visited with some of you in the past couple meetings about how we will proceed as our board. And I visited with Matt a little bit more here this morning again. If we schedule ours on a regular board meeting, we normally have an hour and a half to 2 hour board meeting. Just depends, sometimes shorter, sometimes less. Do we want to have a separate special meeting to hold that public hearing for the wind farm? I would think that would be a good idea. Then that night we just have that. I would like to go at a night meeting, and I'd like to I'll throw out some dates of March 8th or March 15th. Because that'll give us enough time to publicly advertise it. The only way it wouldn't be one of those dates is if they don't approve their recommendations and forward them on to us. We're just setting a date. If they approve their recommendations, then that would be forwarded on to us at their February 11th meeting, then what we're doing basically is letting everybody know when we're going to schedule our public hearing, I guess. So, and I'm even open to, any time in those 2 weeks. I'll just, what works for everybody so that we can schedule that meeting, I guess, or whatever. If they don't forward anything to us and they take another month, ours will be backed up too. Ours wouldn't be going. But that way, then once their meeting's done, Don would know when to start advertising for ours. I guess, do you see any?
Would you hold the public hearing and then wait for 2 weeks again before you approve it?
Yes. That format? Yes. But we would. We wouldn't have a night meeting or anything at that. We would just have at a regular board meeting. You know, if you did it on the 8th, then we would have to wait until the 30th to approve it or whatever and stuff. So, yeah, 8th or 15th, either one. Or if you did it in this time frame, then we'd have to wait till March 30th for this board to vote on it. We don't have to wait. That's normally what we do, and I would encourage that too, though, that this board waits 2 weeks for that. As important as this one is. We'll do the 17th. We could, if we did the 17th, does that work for everybody?
We need to start advertising.
Well, we have to advertise for 2 weeks.
Wait, is that?
You have to advertise for 2 weeks.
Or 10 days.
10 days, 2 weeks.
It's
third Thursday.
But 17th, does that work for everybody? This is a tentative date. That's all it is a tentative date. Like at 6?
I just threw it out there. I just was looking at it. We're going to have a meeting on the 16th.
We had that on the 17th. We could still vote for we could still have the vote on the 30th if we did it on the 17th.
Pushes it far enough out. It basically gives them the whole month of February to
to write us letters and emails. You're saying, which some of us, some of us not. Yeah, a call. And so, does March 17th at 6 o'clock work? We'll tentatively set that date then, March 17th at 6 o'clock, for our public hearing on zoning regulations for the wind farm. Wind farm zoning regulations, however you word it. And that's a tentative date. We will know after their February 11th meeting.
Where are you going to hold that?
Because we have to have the speakers and all that and the recording. We'll hold it here. If we don't have enough room, some of them are going to have to stand in the hall and take turns and all that, or we'll crowd them in or whatever. So, no, we'll hold that here, too, because we...
Could we, on a Thursday night, could we maybe talk to the school about using the administration building?
I don't know what...
It would give us more room.
On Thursday night, sometimes they have a committee of the whole that on Thursday nights. I'm not sure if that night will be their committee of the whole. I don't know. I don't know either.
I don't know.
Is that it?
They'll have committee of the whole school board sometimes on Thursday nights.
Is it on Thursday nights?
Yeah.
But
not necessarily on that night.
I think we can have it here. We'll crowd some more chairs in and then I guess see. I don't know. Or not. That's a discussion we can have yet, too.
Well, let's put it on the 17th and go from there.
Gary, why don't we wait and see? The zoning board's going to have theirs here. Let's see what kind of, I guess, crowd or what do you want to call it, they have at that one. If we see that there's...
It might be a good one to have the sheriff and some of his friends here, too.
I would say that with regard to that, and I know you're being somewhat coy there, but the meetings that I've been to, people have been very cordial.
Yes,
obviously, people feel very strongly, but they've been very cordial to one another. And I think we've talked about this enough. And I know the last time we just had a public comments out there, I would propose we set a time limit because, we've been contacted a lot. We've read a lot. I don't know what more new there is to hear. It's all opinion. And I think the public's entitled to let us know their opinion. And they've told us, but to sit around and rehash everything for another 2 hours, I think gives people an opportunity. Maybe there is something new that we haven't heard. But I would say everybody's been very cordial and very respectful, and there's been a lot of contact. I get calls and emails and letters like everybody else. But I think initially up in Hallam there were some difficulties.
Yes.
But I think that's
changed. Yeah, I think it's it has.
Any more questions? Otherwise, we'll go on. next up, Glennis McClure to present the Engage Quarterly Report.
Good morning, you all, and thanks for all the work that you do. Glennis McClure, Engage Executive Director. Boy, a year has gone fast. 2015 went really fast. You should have in your packets our metrics report. There is information about quarterly information, so the last quarter and also the year end. And also you should have a narrative report that would have included information that would have primarily been, well, year-end and some quarterly information as well as far as the last quarter goes. So I just selected a few highlights to go through, and but primarily here to answer your questions as you look at those reports. There's a lot of numbers on the one metrics report. So I would say that it was a very active year. I think there's some good things that have happened, and we'll kind of go through that here. I would say quarter four, we had quite a number of business retention expansion visits. So that would be getting out, visiting with companies, recording that information. I had 17 of those visits and then another 34 other business visits. So, I mean, we get folks that stop in all the time and then as we're out and about and, you know, making contacts with folks. So, you know, there's a lot of activity that goes along with that. I want to mention to you business retention expansion visits. Those are about doing, asking about, any issues that they have, sort of having them get to know who we are. Myron went along, we just did one a couple weeks ago together. But to talk about, again, issues, but a lot of times labor and workforce comes up as questions, information, things that they have. And so, particularly, as you know, we have a manufacturing group and we've kind of centered a lot on that workforce development type of work and issue. And the school district's gotten involved. Southeast Community College is paying attention, I think, to what, our workforce needs are here. So for me, it's listening to what the needs are and try to make connections, try to help them with, with thoughts, ideas, whatever they can do. I know on February 2nd, we are doing a training for workforce. There's workforce grants through the Department of Labor and also customized training. Department of Economic Development has that program, as well as there's an Intern Nebraska program. So we're having a workshop out at Southeast Community College to talk about those issues, talk about those, I guess, those opportunities, those resources, let's say, for companies to take part of. And we're getting a pretty good response on that. A lot of times those workshops happen in Lincoln. I said, I think there's a need. I think we need to do one down here. So we're planning that. We talk about like their city services, whether police, fire, utilities, all those are working out well for them. We talk about, one of the topics of conversation often is too, how is their internet connection? Are they doing well with that? Do we need to do more as far as increasing services with internet connection and so on? And then we do keep track, of course, of sites and buildings. And just in the fourth quarter alone, we had noted that we had 12 inquiries for folks kind of looking around for different sites, buildings, buildings downtown, different kinds of things. So try to make note of how many of those responses we make. I already mentioned the manufacturing group, but as part of quarter four, we had Manufacturing Day, and we had three companies in the industrial park that did open houses, and then we also, that would be NEAPCO, World Lawn, and Precise Fabrication. Raglan Automation out of Pickerel participated with NEAPCO, and Industrial Made out of Cortland participated with Precise Fab. So we did better this last year with that sort of activity, and that would be one thing hopefully we could expand upon. And the companies, again, are very interested in having the public come and learn about what they're doing and what manufacturing means these days, but also, of course, connecting with the students, with the schools. And so I think we're really building a lot of sort of momentum, some good things with the connections with the schools and the companies that need good workers here. All right. Then, as you know, we have been working on our housing study, and we had our surveys that were due back in on October 21st. And we, according to Hannah Keeling, we did very well with those. We had over 300 general citizen surveys come back, and then we had over 200 workforce surveys come back. So they've been, you know, analyzing that information, continuing to get public input. And again, we just recently had some housing forums that a few of you attended. And they were small groups of folks, but I think there were folks that were interested and came out and visited with the folks from Hannah Keeling about their thoughts and ideas on that. And so we do have a housing study committee, and that group is supposed to meet again next week. And they're projecting to have that housing study done sometime in March, the way it looks. As far as small business development work, we had a number of trainings in the fall, and in quarter four in particular, we had a business canvas workshop and also business financials, and we had 7 small businesses participating. And I would say, you know, I'd have to, that at least half of those or more, half of the 7 are very, very serious about looking at starting a business here. And so they've been attending some of our workshops, which has been really good. Also in the fourth quarter, Lincoln Area Development Partnership, we're a member of that group. In fact, Pat Haverty, their director, is going to be down today to visit with me, and I'll hopefully pick his brain on ideas and things that they're doing and how we can really work together more. But there was the regional group decided that we needed to have more of a presence out on the web, and so we launched a website with the Lincoln Area Development Partnership. So that's up and running, and I know we need to pay a little of attention to that and get a lot of things from Beatrice and Gage County on that. So, and it worked out nice that we use Golden Shovel as our web company, and they chose them. We did a number of sort of bids and what different companies would do, and they chose the Golden Shovel to do theirs as well. So it's kind of nice because we know how that works and we can interact with that a little bit better too. We have continued to grow our member investors. We have 26 so far for a total of 16,000 at the end of the year. On the metric sheet then too, this is a summary of year-end numbers. And it's interesting, as we go back and look, we had 16 new businesses that we had recorded and figured out throughout the year for the county. Most of those, of course, are in Beatrice. And then you try to equate how many of those new businesses, how many employees are, a part of that. And we counted 23. There were some business expansions. We had 16 new businesses, but there were also 4 that closed that we were familiar with. So we had a positive net on businesses opening, and hopefully they will stick around and do well. And I would say someone asked, too, how many of those did we directly work with, either came to a training, we worked with one-on-one as far as business plans or questions that they had, maybe even a site or building inquiry. We worked with 6 of those 16 through this last year. And I had noted, I think it was about 13, I think, in your report that we had I don't know what that number is off. There was a lot more than that we worked with, but these would be those that started businesses. So, okay. I thought it was interesting too. I've worked with Patty on some numbers on value growth. And of course, a lot of her numbers, have to do with, assessment. I mean, how assessments change and so on. But there was a figure that she provided on valuation attributed, so kind of in the middle part of your metric sheet there. And I tried to bold it, but valuation attributed to growth. So for 2015, I would say that's an investment number. There was $35,866,990 of investment for 2015, in the county. And that was up over $12 million from 2014. So I think that's a really positive number. That's not counting increased assessed values. That is just a pure investment, figure. So
basically what businesses added.
Well, and it would be, there would be, ag machinery included in that, commercial growth, and there would be some residential value probably in that too. So all of those figures, so, okay. All right, so a lot of numbers for you. Anything I can help you with.
I'll bring up quick. I believe February 11th is the annual meeting.
Right.
Give us some date or time to explain that a little bit, because there's going to be more than four people or four entities there voting this year.
Right. We have, since we have our member investor, we launched that this last year. We have, at the $1,000 and above level, we have those businesses or those individuals have, voting rights. And so that adds a little bit more to the pool. And we are inviting all of our member investors and, of course, and telling them, of course, who has voting rights and who doesn't. And that's mainly to vote for a board of directors.
That's February 11th, and where?
And it is at the Primavera Room at Valentino's. And I did bring printed invitations for you.
Okay.
So I'll go ahead and hand those around. And I think they're in order as you go around your table there. So, okay. All right. And I sent an email to you today, Don. All right. Questions about any of my report?
I think sometimes we take for granted that the growth or development in the county, and sometimes we, if you don't look at the big picture, you look out there and you go, well, we didn't have anything happen in the county. And when you see some of these reports, it's kind of amazing sometimes, yet the investment and the opportunity out there in the county, in the city. So.
And I think it's always important at the end of the period, I always kind of look and say, okay, now who are we still waiting to hear back from? And there are, I had counted that we had, when you see open projects, those would be, again, more substantial type projects that haven't made a decision, but that had some, had some activity going on that, hopefully we will hear some, positive things from. So I just sent a note off to DED today on one, because I think that I had sent off that proposal way back in April of last year, and it's just, they haven't moved on it. They haven't done anything with it. So, sometimes they just take a while. So, okay. All right. Well, stay in touch if you have questions. I'm glad to visit with you on anything. So, all right. Thank you. Okay.
And we need to place on file. To entertain a motion to place on file.
So moved.
Second. Motion by Lytle, seconded by Tiemann to place on file our engaged quarterly report. Vote 7-0 in favor. Thank you, Glennis. Gus, next up, present quarterly report for sheriff and other screen station corrections. And
sir.
Thank you, sir.
How many standing devices did you?
We're going to find out.
Is it called a utensil or a device?
Yeah, it's not a utensil.
I don't know. You can categorize a shank. I don't know.
Let's take it to the next level.
Well, good morning. Lord Gutherson, Gage County Sheriff. This will be our third quarter reports for 2015. I'll start with the Sheriff's Office. For our calls for service, we had 1,937. We had 70 accidents, 159 citations, 272 warnings, 255 arrests, 289 papers were served, 91 arrest warrants were served, fees earned of $2,742.44, mileage earned from the fees there were $3,099.06. We made nothing for copies, distress warrants, nothing collected there, nothing on partials for the distress warrants. Town inspections were 3,490. Patrol unit miles driven was approximately 78,740 miles. Transports whatever reason would be 1,327. The reimbursements for us for grants was $318.89. We had no meth labs. We had 12 drug violations, no reserve miles, 10 reserve hours, 154 billing checks, and of those, 7 open doors were found. We'll move next to the St. Croix report for detention center. We had 147 males booked in, 41 females, 123 felonies, 197 misdemeanors, 96 miscellaneous. Sheriff's Office was 146 of those, 59 were from the police department, 4 from One More Police, 3 from Nebraska State Patrol, none for other agencies, outside agencies. Alcohol arrests were 21, A daily average population was 21. Average outside population was 4 high and 2 low. No income from outside holds for prisoners. We had $270 from fingerprint money we charged. We had no income from inmate phone usage. Commissary income was $2,192.10. Outside prisoner holding expense was $24,310.08. Our general care emergency medical was $32,948.52. Nothing for vision and $401 for dental. Well, the total for medical was $33,349.52. And finally, the stats for the screening station for third quarter last year. It was staffed for 64 days. We had a total of 3,339 patrons were screened. An average of 52 patrons per day staffed. Patrons brought in 572 cell phones to the floor. We had 69 stabbing and cutting instruments. One bullet and a loaded gun magazine was found. Escorted 18 inmates to court. 18 were remanded into custody. Issued 2 misdemeanor citations and assisted with 2 others. They arrested 5 people for outstanding warrants, including 1 felony drug warrant. We had 2 intoxicated people show up for court we had to deal with. We served 6 civil process papers there on the floor. Transported 1 person to a mental health facility. And they also did a quiz to refresh the courthouse employees with emergency procedure reference book. And they also had a training for court deputies and correctional officers on how to respond to court disturbances and critical incidents. Instruments. Yep.
And they've been doing a little bit. Dave's been doing a little bit of work up there as far as remodeling.
He's getting there.
And
yeah.
It's getting closer to done. So.
A couple more tables and a bulletproof glass, and I think we'll be pretty much there.
Pretty much done. So that's changing a little bit up there where you're going. Yeah.
Make a little more user friendly for the staff, and public will kind of know where not to be at. So it's working out pretty well. Got monitors hooked up so they can a lot better in real time when they're watching. So.
Were all found on the third floor, so the 2 primary floors the public uses, the first and the second floor. So these items were on the first and the second floor prior to being found on the third floor.
That's correct.
Everybody walked out of here alive.
There's obviously no danger, though, to any of us because we still aren't allowed to carry here by state statute. So I don't know why we need bulletproof glass because there aren't any guns in the courthouse. There's signs.
Yeah, I wish it was that simple.
It's a safe zone, gun-free safe zone. No bullets.
Any questions?
I thought we had a whole lot more transport miles, 1,300 miles.
Well, you got to remember, we luck out because anybody that's putting long-term to Dawson County, they do that to us for free. They provide that. I just sent a van load out last week. So those miles, I don't count a lot. We'd have a lot more miles on here. So that's probably why.
And this is third quarter, too, Eric.
Yeah, fourth quarter I think will pick up a little bit because we were way over population.
You talked about going out to Colorado or something the one time, and that would have...
Yeah, that would add up a lot.
Add it up real quick.
Yeah,
about half the mileage from the previous quarter, but I assume it seems like it stays about the same.
Yeah, a lot depends on what Roger does and what the courts do. I mean, it just where I have to go, we've got... I think I got one in Kansas I'm waiting to go get probably Monday. I'll put on get that one, so I'll put a few miles on.
Eric, with that new van, they don't want to put too many miles on it too quick.
Yeah, it's adding up. So about
they're watching
15,000 already, so yeah, try to save that. Yes?
2 questions, Gus. The first one, I think we discussed this last time, the building checks, way down from every quarter in 14, you're 700-800 building checks. What's are we not checking on the communities anymore, or what's?
Oh, it just depends. depends for calls for service. If they're busy that night, it takes 1 or 2 calls, and they're over here doing reports, good share of the shift. Eliminate some of that. They try to hit some. I told them, I said, you don't have an answer to get every one every night, but try to hit some at random when you have time to get it done. So, yeah, a lot just depends. Some are more active on that. Some don't do as many, and some really get out there every night and check them all. I mean, it's a blend of how they do that. But a lot of it depends on the calls, what you got going on.
Some of it, too, is maybe not documented Is that possible?
Well, they might forget they're supposed to do that, but it's human error. You know, that could be. You know, just varies. Simply varies.
Second question, and this is going to take, you know, a little more in-depth answer from you. We've discussed for some time now the reserve deputies and the fact that that program is going to become more or less extinct as time goes, and you can see here that you had 0 miles and 10 hours of reserve deputy time. How's that affecting your office, and has it affected you as much as you thought, and how's that dynamic working?
Well, it hasn't affected us all that much because it's happened over a period of time to where people come and go. So the last two we have, one just went through the last basic 4 reserves. That academy is now done. The other one we have is my transport officer, so he's working most time for me anyway, or on the jail side. At the last meeting I was at, they are trying to negotiate a deal where they'll do like some states will have 3 levels of reserve deputies. You'll have fully certified reserve status. You'll have ones that are not fully certified but can work armed in so many hours a year, and then they'll have the one in the lower class that doesn't do, so to speak, so much. A lot less hours they have to work through the year. So I know they heard from administrators. I said I was a little concerned. When we had our full 10, we were pretty active with them, especially when we first started years ago, and they filled a lot of voids for us.
Right.
That's gone now. Of course, the call for service for us has gone up too, and so we cover a lot of things like the special events in the counties, from the tractor pulls and the fairgrounds. They'll be out, one or two of them that I have, helping a little bit. Otherwise, we still have our people filling those voids anyway. So it's noticeable. It was nice because a lot of those organizations would donate the reserves just so they could, you know, it's part of the community. It's just something they're helping out with. But so we'll see where they're going out with that. I know they're trying to look at 3 different ways of handling different classifications on them. So where it goes, I don't know. It's like I say, I know people were, some sheriffs, I'm sure, were concerned about that, as were chiefs of police. So we'll see if they can get everybody on board and try to do something, because we were one of the states that's kind of oddity. We would only allow up to 100 hours a year, which was an absolute joke. Some states, you had to work at least 500 to 1,000 hours to even stay certified as a reserve. So they're trying to get a blend of that, I think, in there, and look to different states connecting us and moving forward on that. So we'll see where it goes.
Well, that's good to hear.
Yeah, they didn't drop the ball, because after some people started making a few comments, they realized maybe they shouldn't be maybe doing that so rapid. And a lot of it comes from the director from the academy. He just sees something, and the academies are getting so busy now they can't even have the full courses they used to have. They used to have 3 a year. I think they're down to 2 now almost. They usually have around 30, 35, and this last one had 51 in it. There's so many people coming through, they just can't handle it. And he was trying to look at a way to eliminate one less school or training, you know, throughout the year there. But so I think they're working on something. We'll see what it turns out to be. But yeah.
With the math labs, we haven't had any math labs in the last year and 3 quarters. Are they just not out there like they were, or?
Well, I like to say that, probably not the case. A lot of it is having time to work that. Since we lost our drug task force here a couple years ago, that took out people that did nothing but that full time. So now I have one or two deputies that work drugs. You know, they're more into that, so they'll do that and do the rest of their duties. But it's a lot of legwork and a lot of time consuming to do that. And when you can't do it full time, like say, one call for service they could be gone for half the shift on that and not get back to anything. So there's things they're working on, and they got leads we're dealing with, and it could be all of a sudden one time you got 4 or 5 arrests. We just work through that process, takes a year or two, and then you go get to Roger and you get your affidavits for arrest warrants if he approves and move forward. So I'd like to see where we had somebody full time on drugs, but you know, a lot of people like to see that. In different agencies, and you just, unless a large agency, it's pretty hard to do that. That's one more employee on the staff, so. But they're still out there, there's no doubt. Yeah. Else? Nothing?
No questions?
Well, I will touch base just for being, Trey brought it up, the rash or thefts we've had down south. We're very well aware of him. He had one comment on one individual, but we already knew about it. I knew of him and already did some checking on that, so we had a very good, let's just say I could track him where he was at, I'll put it that way. And so he wasn't where he was, where we thought he might have been when this happened. So I'm hearing a lot of talk, coffee talk, you know, people get a little irritated about stuff, and I just don't want to see the public do things they shouldn't. It could be somebody needing gas stopped by the place, and they do something they shouldn't do, you know. So if they're suspicious of something like that, call us first. We'll check it out. We're working through the best we can, but every lead we get, we look at it. But it's just time-consuming, and they have to have the leads. So we have one we're working through with the Kansas authorities. We'll see where that goes. But right now, it's just still up in the air. All right, thanks.
We need a motion to entertain a motion to place the sheriff's report on file.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Lytle, second by Thiemann. Vote 7-0. Discussion on the 1 and 6 year proposed highway improvement road plan. Galen.
Pass these out. This is a updated one-year list. And what I gave you, there's a couple projects that were carried over that weren't on your original list.
Thank you, sir.
No.
Just put that out for bids. Yes. Get prices on that.
Yep.
Myron, I'll start. I just kind of I'll give you some rough figures here. What's on this? If anybody likes to see, I think I kind of got this map located where everything is and what's being taken place in the county. If you flip through the original one we've had, we've got completed project for 2015. Now, that looks small with the amount of work we had to do. With talking to Galen, I knew this. He estimated because of the flood damage and flood repair work that had to get done last spring that the crews down there probably spent approximately 2 months of their time just in repairing flood damage, replacing critical culverts that had to be replaced, washouts, things like that. So I was hoping we'd have saw more got done than what's there, because there's a large list on your front page that you get to see. But that's what we got done for 2015.
Terry, I'd make a comment that if you go through and you look, replacing a lot of small bridges,
mm-hmm.
which is a real hindrance to current mm-hmm. modern farming practices. And I think that's a huge move in the right direction. We've done that. How many have we done in the last couple of years? How many of those old bridges have we pulled out?
I'd say in the last 3 or 4 years, probably 50 or better.
And if you look at the sheet, there's a lot of replacement also coming up. And if you look at the 6 year, there's a lot of replacement coming up. So it's constant that Galen has been, you know, constantly trying to remove some of those that are getting to an age where they're not usable anymore. And it's a lot more, it's a much safer system that he's putting in now than what's there right now. So, briefly on this plan, shouldering work that's left over, approximately 25 miles are left, I think Galen and I figured approximately. Of course, the Hickory Road, 4.2 miles. There's 29 miles of armor coating, 36 miles of paint striping, plus all the replacement. If you look at that first list, there's I didn't count them, but it looks to me like probably at least 20 culvert replacement or bridge replacements on the 2016 plan. As of right now, there are three culverts on site, so whenever weather conditions straighten out and we're able to do door work again, we'll try to get them finished up and completed. And there's sizing being done right now. A bunch of different things were added to this list because of flood damage this last spring that we had to put on this front page again. So we'll try and get that done. You know, weather with the equipment that they've got replaced down there, weather permitting, I can see a lot of this getting done next year, but we have to have the weather work for us too. On February 3rd, I think Galen contacted Mark Minnelli's office and see if he'd come down and give us a full map like he has in the past and basically go through some of these things. And if he got any questions, we can ask him about it then. I mean, and then approval on the February 17th date of this 1 and 6 year plan. So,
our public hearing will be which one of those? Because we have to have a public hearing for this.
Be on the 17th.
On the 17th.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. Public hearing 17th.
There is a public hearing, and that's the one time that we will.
When will the approval be then?
17th.
Same day. Okay.
17th. Right. That's the one time we will approve. Have a public hearing for it. We're required to have a public hearing on this 1 and 6 year plan, and that'll be on the 17th. And then we will have approval too on that date because this has to be up by in the state or wherever by the March 1st.
Yes,
March 1st. So February 17th is the last scheduled meeting that we have that we can vote on this. So, but Mark,
than that, you know, go down through this list. I've kind of got a pretty good idea what exactly is going. I mean, it's going to be hard to go through this list to detail everything. I mean, it'd be better if we wait for Mark if he has that full map complete by then that we can go around and look at everything then. So, anything, Galen, you had to add on?
No, other than that, that she kind of passed out. There was two projects that was carried over from 2015 that wasn't on the original one that I gave you Monday. So that's why I gave you a new one-year sheet.
What are these 3x3 and 4x4 concrete boxes? Are those box culverts?
They're old box culverts, yes. So, and most of the time they're falling apart or the head walls are falling off or something like that. Then we get them sized, replace them with culverts. They're not feasible to repair.
Any more questions? John?
And I guess the one thing I've been looking at and going to continue to look at more is that it looks to me, and I don't know, Galen, unless I'm wrong, but I think like the Barnston asphalt going up to the Liberty Road, it looks to me like that hasn't been armor-coated since it was overlaid in 2002, which putting it at 14 years now. And there's a couple other short stretches, but I'm not sure on those. So.
John and I talked about that a little bit. We have in budgeted 29 miles of armor coating right now. Hopefully, and I think the budget was $15,000 a mile is what we figured that at. Hopefully, with the price of oil and everything the way it is, we could get a pretty good bid on this spring, I hope. If it comes in, when Galen sends these bids out, if it comes in, maybe we would look at maybe an option of doing a few more miles someplace. I'm just talking. I don't know how it worked. And maybe we could get caught up a little further, a little quicker on that. It's just something to think about.
Yeah, the last time we did several miles in the county, we put that out for bid, and that came in at a price where we could add some because we added some additional miles. So.
Right.
Yeah.
And I don't know when we write that up, if we could maybe note that in there with the
it did last time. That was the,
with
that was
the option of doing extra miles, you know, at that price, I think is the way we did it. So
I think we all understand the importance of that, and we need to do everything we can to maintain our roads that we have.
Well, like I say, it all depends on where the price comes in.
Yeah.
And like I say, hopefully we'll see the way the price of gas and everything went. I thought that tack wall should come down, too, so we'll see.
And everyone is telling us that that's the most economical thing we can do to maintain our paved roads is to keep them armor-coated, and it keeps them in the top part of the condition instead of the bottom part of the condition when they started to deteriorate.
Any more questions or comments, or if you have a spot or a road or something that you want added next time, March 3rd, there would be time when Mark's Manelli's here to bring that up, or maybe add something yet. We still do have time to add at the next two meetings, so we can add something yet or take something off if somebody doesn't want something on there. But this is passed out, so everybody has opportunity to look at it, and maybe particularly in their area, do like Matt's doing, get out your plat book and check where some of these are, because Galen seems to be able to know where North 23 Holt's at, but some of the rest of us don't have any idea where North 23 Holt's at.
I had asked about swapping half mile for half mile. Is that something that would go on here, or is that, I haven't talked to Melvin again after he was here. He was going to talk to you.
That's a good question. If you wanted to even upgrade the road, does it need to go on here? I guess that's a question.
If you're going to do a bunch of regrading, as a project, it needs to go on your 1 or 6 year, yes.
That would be a capital improvement item, the use of unrestricted funds. So you'd want to put that, because then you'd want to turn that in as a clerk.
I'll try to talk to Melvin, see.
And get an idea by next meeting if that's something that we could add on here or should add on here, I guess. So
whether.
That doesn't lock us into definitely trading roads or anything, but then it would be on here to if that was able to happen in the next year, it would be on the plan already. So then you wouldn't have to go back and get I call it an amendment or whatever approval for that. So
Byron, the only problem I see with that, what I see with funds available out of the highway department right now, what Rock and Gravel used. That's going to be an extra chunk of money.
I know it.
And we don't have it.
I'd
think something that's something that could be put on a 6-year plan to look at if the township is willing to do that. And I'm not so certain they are. So, okay.
That might be better places on the 6-year plan, because then we could always pull it off and put it on the 1-year plan.
Yeah.
During the year or not. If you had something on the 6-year plan, would we have to go through a public hearing and everything to move it to the 1-year plan?
Well, I know you still, I believe you still have to file the state, pulled off the 6 and put it on the 1.
You do, okay.
Yeah.
I think you would just want to do that annually. I don't think you'd want to do it mid-year. And if it's a grading project that we don't have in the books now, leave it on the 6-year, and then next when you roll around. Because we've done that before. We pulled projects off the 6 and bumped them up.
Stick them on the 1.
Well, if it's on 6, 1 is included in 6.
Mm-hmm.
So, and Gary and I have noticed, so our bridges in town have been not put on the plan at all.
They haven't been.
We really have noticed that we've been excluded again.
Ramps, I'm telling you, just ramps. I would like to acknowledge Supervisor Juergen's handiwork here for everyone to see. He asked me if I wanted to look at this quickly and commit it to memory, and I said, I would propose we have copies. I think it's valuable. I'm being a little bit coy here, but it is. It does kind of explain stuff. But Terry, I can't digest this. And
do you want me to
in color? Copies? In color,
because the color does help because it spreads them out. So really, Terry,
I had fun doing.
You want to look at this quickly?
There you did.
You did.
Was that paint by number?
Yeah, 1 and 6.
Adult.
Did you read this down?
Okay. I think anything else, Galen, or anybody else? Otherwise, we'll move on. But there will be discussion again at our next meeting, and then on the 3rd of February, and then at the 17th, we will have our public hearing and vote on approval of our 1 and 6 year plan.
Terry, they'll make copies for you. They'll come over and get some mixed.
Next up, discuss and approve or disapprove repairing closed bridge in Barnston Township.
How long do you work on that?
Galen, go ahead. Explain it a little bit, I guess. So.
Okay, here about 2 or 3, 4 weeks ago, we team come down for a fracture critical inspection team, and they're also doing a load re-rating on a truss bridge down in Barnston Township. And when they've done an inspection of the deck and the stringers, they found several rotted bad stringers. So immediately when they found that, they called me and said I had to close the bridge. And on that, they gave me the inspection of what they found as far as the bad stringers, rotted stringers and everything. So and that report is filed with the state. Until you either replace it or repair it, you let them know what you plan on doing, either or. And then when you get it done, then you file another report with the state letting them know what was happened. When we closed that, I did talk with Manelli Wagner's up there and say, can you give me a rough idea without doing a complete hydraulic study, possibly what it would be for to have this structure, what kind of pipes would replace this structure. It is a 70-foot, 16-foot wide by 70-foot long truss bridge. It has a flow line depth of, I believe, it's about 15 to 16 foot from the top of the deck down to the bottom of the creek. So he done a rough, quick look at his charts and everything he has. It drains just under a square mile is what I was told. And I asked him, I said, just roughly off the top of your head, what would it take if we put in a culvert pipe here without doing a full hydraulic study? He said, just by looking, he says, say probably twin to triple 84-inch, I believe is what he told me. So, and I estimated that to be anywhere from $35,000 to $40,000. I'd say probably $40,000 time you got them in. I also talked to the gentleman that done the inspection on this truss bridge, and I said, ask him what the condition of the truss was itself and the abutments, because I said I don't want to stick a, because an estimate to put a new stringers and a deck on this structure was, it's right around $16,000, $16,005. And I said I wouldn't want to put a new deck and stringers on this if the truss is no good and ready to fall in after I get it done. He said, actually, for the age of the bridge, it was in very good shape. He said they didn't find nothing else wrong with it. So basically he would not be scared on if a guy wanted to put a new wood stringers and wood deck back on it. So that's when I brought it to Road and Bridge and presented it to you and say, hey, give me a little guidance on this. Which way do you kind of want to go on this? So that's where we're at today.
And you visited with the township and I guess I call it there's a house right beside the bridge almost, and you visited with M2 and everything. Yes.
I visited with the township on that, and I asked them, well, the first question I ask is, what would be your thoughts if the county left this bridge just closed? It's on a kind of a low-volume township road, and the township's response to me was that the first thing they said, well, if it wouldn't be for the person living right here by the bridge, a few years ago it was part of that road was minimum maintenance on the east side of the bridge. They requested the township to bring that out, minimum maintenance, because with the winters we had, the snow blowing, and they had to go out the opposite way, that road always drifted shut. That was over a mile, probably a mile, a quarter mile and a half long instead of the short way out, which is right at a mile, maybe a short mile. So they said other than that, it wouldn't really bother them, but they know that the landowner there wasn't in favor of it. So then I talked with the landowner there, asked him the same question. He said, well, if it wouldn't be for getting out in the wintertime, it wouldn't be so bad. And also he had property on the other side of the bridge. So he says with those two things, he said he wouldn't be in favor of leaving the bridge closed. I did talk to him because if we did put in multiple big pipe, since you'd have 6 to 7 foot of headwater, since we got such a deep structure to put in there, we'd have to get a ponding agreement from the landowner. That's because the water would be backed up when you had these big rains because of the depth. And I asked him if we did put pipe in there, if he would sign a easement to let us pond water on him. He said, yes, he would sign it if he did decide to go with a multiple pipe. But basically he said he'd be just as happy with the redoing the stringers and on the bridge. So that's basically the conversation I had with both of them.
Terry?
Myron, I'll just give you my view. With the low volume of traffic that this bridge has, My guess was if it has to be fixed, fix it as cheaply as possible, which would be using our crews and replacing the stringers and the deck clamp.
With the wood stringers and stuff. So
Because, I mean, it's not going to be an easy task putting them culverts down in there.
It's kind of a rocky area.
Yeah.
And I guess I could go either way with this. I think it would get somewhat more use, and I've talked to a couple of people that would use it, but obviously you can't go across it with farm equipment at this time. If you look at the stringers, you're going to replace them probably two more times for the life of culverts. For the life of the culverts, you're looking at the same money or possibly less, but I could go either way with it.
Yeah. Eric?
Do we want to get the opinion of the Board of Classifications on this?
We should.
Before we work on this?
Probably not. We can handle this
not
one,
this
I think.
Time?
Yeah, not
all
this
right.
time. We can handle this one, yeah.
I'm all right with
valid
this.
Point, but valid point, but yeah. I've been thinking, too, and we visited, gone down and looked at it. A lot of us have, and Galen, we've talked about this at the last couple meetings and committee meetings, and I would be in favor of doing the wood, basically because saving the cost now, I guess, as much as anything. I know the culverts long-term would be maybe more beneficial, but as I visited last Friday, that government doesn't always work that way. We sometimes save costs now and don't save as much cost over the years ahead. But I think for use and everything, that that structure would serve that area more than adequate with the way it is if we replace the stringers.
Now, it isn't the easiest place to put culverts in, and that you got that rocky base there that's, you're going to have to bring some dirt in from somewhere.
Yeah. There's some issues of putting culverts in that one. Yeah, it's not just a drop them in and cover it back up and go. That one would be a challenge to put the culverts in there. So, I'd entertain a motion to go ahead and approve the wood, replacing it with the wood if somebody wants to do that.
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion to repair this bridge with the trust timbers for approximate cost of $16,500 by Bauman and a second by Juergens. Any more discussion? Vote 7-0.
Quick question, just for procedure. Something like that, is that something we need a vote on, or if it's a maintenance item like that?
Well, and I think we brought it up in committee just because there was some discussion with the township and the landowner down there, and there was an opportunity to go to a culvert, and we have been pretty progressive at doing that. We just said, hey, let's talk about it. Let's put it out there because people may say, well, here was another opportunity. Why didn't you do that? Well, three or four times as much. There's all these other additional agreements. The bridge apparently is in good favor. Let's just redeck the thing.
And I'm not real sure we need to or not, Eric. I'll just give you my opinion. I would like it on there, and then we have a record so that if ever someday somebody comes back and asks, we did approve it, I guess. I don't know if we... Maybe
the more transparency we have, the better off we are in case there's any future questions.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because this isn't something that we're going to put out for bids, so we don't have to go about it that way. But yet this dollar amount, you're not just spending a couple thousand dollars on this project or whatever. I guess we all know what's going on, and so does the public. So thank you, Galen. Next up, approve or disapprove our 2016 board committee and appointments. As soon as I find my sheet, we didn't change. Oh, here we go. We didn't. Thank you. Thank you, Don.
Motion to approve.
Motion to approve. Second.
Second.
Motion by Bauman, seconded by Byers. Did not change a whole lot on there. The top part, the committees up there, left all the same. Did visit with everybody. Terry and I have visited in the last year or two a little bit about. He has some, I guess, some thoughts about because of the volume of work that the equalization has to do with appeals or whatever about. That board, I guess, and making sure that the rest of us are available at that time period to help as much as we can, just because if we do keep increasing that volume of appeals, and that's an unknown. We don't know until they start coming in. So
that said, I think when we've run into that in the past, we've just asked for the cooperation of the rest of the board, and everybody has said yes. and we've set up a calendar when people can volunteer to come in. It's worked out very,
it's worked
very
out
well.
Good. And we also, another on that equalization, I have visited with Patty. There was some discussion about getting Lloyd Dickinson on retainer for this next year as a, basically a standby. I have visited with her to see where we're at on that. So as we go forward in the next month or two, I don't want to wait until we find out we have way too many and then need to talk to him. So we'll work on that, too, this year or in the next month or two. So down there at the bottom, I know we did change some. The public health, we put John on instead of Denny. I'm trying to think of the other ones. The visitor committee is, well, no, not the visitors committee. The Engage, Eric, is our, Eric and Gary are our representatives on Engage this year. I'm trying to look for that one here. Well, we were going to list it up above here, economic development, or not, no.
Wasn't on it, but I can add that.
Okay. There will be that. Eric and Gary are representatives for Engage. Oh, there it is down there. Yeah, economic development.
At the bottom.
We have that on there. And the other one, John Hill, will be our Blue Valley representative in place of Tiemann. So other than that, visit with everybody, and most people are comfortable with the way the committees are. So. If not any more questions or discussions, we'll go ahead and vote. 7-0 to approve. Discuss and approve or disapprove 2016 Board of Supervisors standing rules. Don did pass out those, so everybody should have those pages or whatever. Any questions I'll take a motion to. Oh, go ahead, Matt.
Well, we're discussing your motion to. I'll make a motion to. Oh, here we can discuss first. Just some of the semantics there in Rule 18, where it talks about maybe just to go through to clarify some of the language with regard to the standing committees. Safety committee is, we don't have that listed on the front page of our committee, and then we have finance, insurance, and bonds. Splitting hairs, but just if it says it on one page, should it say it on the other?
It's down below. It's safety down on your committee list.
Well, I know, and we have those as appointments versus committees, but in the standing rules, it says it calls them committees.
So I'll move.
I'm splitting hairs, but just so it matched, I admit that. I point that out.
Okay.
And safety committee is it's a appointment, but. And I think that was there last year. I think I just didn't bring it up.
No, you should have it right.
Maybe I would just say that maybe that Rule 18 should be consistent with identifying, and maybe I would make an amendment. Maybe I should do that in a motion that there should be an amendment to Rule 18 to say standing committees / appointments, and that those would reflect what is on. What
on
we just
page.
Approved, just so that's consistent with the language. I would say that.
To approve it next week, too.
No. Last time we approved it in February, so if you want to have discussion and not approve it, that's fine, too.
It's just housekeeping, that's all.
It's housekeeping. I don't know, we passed these out Friday, so everybody got to, or should have had a chance to look at them. I'm open to whatever everybody
wants. If anyone wants to make the amendment to it, we can.
Yeah,
I'm pushing it off till next meeting.
That's the only thing that I saw that I could.
So where it says Rule Number 18, there your amendment would be standing committees / appointments of this board
shall be as follows, and then have the items in there be what comes off the front page. So it's consistent.
So list all the appointment.
So are you making that a motion then?
Yes.
So moved. Do we have a second?
Second.
Okay. Motion by Bauman, second by Light on that discussion. Go ahead, Gary.
The only thing I was going to say is could we just, Roger, could you just call this attachment A or attachment 1, and then just rather than listing them all inside of here, just refer to attachment 1.
Well, your attachment 1 is going to change year to year, possibly at the discretion of the chair. right. And the board, whereas your standing rules typically are passed out and people say we've always used these, yep, unless there's a change or a typo. That's the only thing I would say. I think just for reference purposes for Don, she can refer to that so that she cross-checks it.
Oh, right on. Yeah, makes sense. Thanks, Roger.
Any more discussion?
Yeah. And just so Gus knows, in the standing rules, Dan, that it does say that even though you're not on the law enforcement committee, it does say that the committee has oversight of the operations of the sheriff's department. Just so you know.
Maybe just for
the that's in conflict with state statutes. So I'm just saying, you're responsible.
We should probably have Teeman on that committee.
What the law enforcement?
Yeah, the oversight of law enforcement.
Oversight of the law enforcement.
That should be his own.
I got some ideas I think we ought to talk about.
I'll bet you do.
And then give you a clean copy because this is just the rough copy. So we can prove it as this, but you'll get a new copy next meeting. I'll have everything changed per this motion. Okay.
We do have a motion to approve it with amendments. With that added. And we have a second. Vote 7-0 to approve. And next up on our agenda is discuss and approve or disapprove the use of Facebook page for the Veterans Office and or other county offices.
I think we should discuss before we
approve
or have them.
No, but that's why we put that on here to discuss. So we can go ahead and discuss first. And I guess, Phil, come on back up again and visit with us a little bit why this is something you'd like, I guess. So
just to, basically what we want to do is get on Facebook. The committee's already voted to that they would like to see us proceed with that. And just to get the word out to veterans and let them know what's going on and any changes in the VA system.
Any more questions for Phil here while he's here? So, I think you were at our last meeting too, and yes, visited with us about it. I'll just make one comment. I guess that it's not just for you, but for anyone we would do it. You are using the county's equipment. You are basically the face of the county then, and there's some very, I guess, expectations from not only this board, from people of the county that. It's handled in a professional manner, I guess. I'm not trying to pick on anybody, but more of a reminder that...
No, and the policy that I had written up and provided with you, I think, covers that.
That, too. I think it as we go forward and as society becomes more, I'll call it tech-savvy or whatever, using all of this equipment that they have out there now, and more things start showing up that, they shouldn't have done that, it's very important that we as a county or our employees and everybody, this board and everybody, maintains a very professional manner in all of this. And,
absolutely.
I think that's why I did
the policy.
Yeah. And I know you know that, but just as a reminder so that as we go forward and have that discussion, how important that is to all of our employees.
Now, this is for information to get out to veterans. This isn't picking on things or people or doing anything like that.
Yeah, Don was talking too. I'm not sure.
Did you give these board that policy that you're talking about?
Yeah, it was... I can't remember because I know.
Yeah, it's been about 6 months ago.
It's real simple. I mean, it's not lengthy at all.
Basically, I use the Beatrice.
You remember it?
I don't know. You might have brought me up a copy of it.
Yeah, I'm sure I gave everyone.
And we talked a little bit about it, and that's I think when you first brought it to the awareness of the board, it is something we needed to look at as far as and basically just a communication with his membership from the veterans. A lot more of them using that method.
I'm in favor of it. I understand the need for it very much.
I understand your concerns too.
Yeah, but there's always that just in the back of our mind, that concern, and that as we go forward in.
It says right in the policy. It won't say anything bad about the county board or any county offices.
Thank you, Phil, for coming again and stuff. Any more questions for Phil? I'll ask that.
And I guess where we're sitting at today, I say this to you, Phil, but we don't have that policy in front of us. We're not having it here today, so we need to go find it or whatever, I guess.
Can
so.
You just send me another copy of that?
Yeah.
And I'll forward it out to them.
One thing on that, page 56, is this a proposal?
That's out of our handbook.
That's out of our handbook, okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay, because it references disclosure of email messages may be required in lawsuits. I'm finding more and more of this in Freedom of Information requests. And again, we want to put that reference in there because, well, Gus, we've got one going right now that I forgot. They have from Florida. Where was that?
All from down in Florida.
Yeah, they want all his commissary and information with what how he services the inmates as far as phone calls and that stuff, but by law, thank you, legislature, he's got to spend hours and hours digging up all this stuff to send down to some group, and we can't even ask them why. So, but for all of us, we all know that, you know, if you use your email, your smartphone or whatever, technically, we could be required to disclose your emails between each other, et cetera. So add that to it as well.
That policy, that'd be amendable at any time also, wouldn't it?
Yeah. This is part of the handbook.
This what you have there is part of our current handbook, yes. The page 56 and 57, yes. Don pulled that out so that everybody could look at that to see what our policy in our handbook is.
This is how quick this is changing because we spent how many hours looking at this just in the last couple of years.
Well, this is kind of what NEMR uses too. Now we've got some updates we're working on now, so we'll see how that changes.
Is that easy enough to do to turn this on to his office and keep it off other places? Because right now it's blocked, correct?
But I apologize a little bit to you in a way, Phil, because we're going to have that policy here in front of the board, and we didn't.
Okay, well, I spent it like 6 months ago, I know everybody's got it, but I'll go ahead and dig it up. And
you if you can, dig that up, forward on to us, and then we will, on our next agenda, next February 3rd, we will put on there to approve or disapprove then. Because I don't know what else to do today, because without that policy to look at, Phil, we're not sure we're approving, yeah.
Yep.
And I thank you for your time, though.
No problem.
Yep. Does anybody else have any other thoughts or ideas? I guess we about need to wait until we get that policy.
We have in our handbook the language in there that talks about use of county equipment in county time. If they're going to use that, it's nice to have the policy come later, but if we're going to allow people to use that, it's just recognized at that time, and all of that stuff is recoverable. No different than the county emails that we have, those are all recoverable. And so
I think Matt's thinking along the same lines as I am, is that we have this in our handbook. Anything he would write would go above and beyond this.
Okay.
It would not be, so, you know, if we have this in place, do we really need to wait for something above and beyond what we're asking to move forward? If we're going to do this, you know, do we really need to wait 2 weeks to see what extra measures Phil's putting in place?
Oh, I don't know.
No, you wouldn't have to. Again, I didn't see anything wrong with it. And basically, Phil got that from a sounding board that they have through Veterans Administration. He didn't just pull one out of the internet. It was something through that process. And I don't know if it was state or regional or federal, but it was very simple to understand and very basic. And I will just tell you, anytime you deal with policies and regulations regarding this, it's usually reactive, not proactive. Because if you write it so that you protect yourself, we won't get on it.
Right.
So you trust the individuals that they're not going to do something that's going to misrepresent or cause us some grief. But
does anyone monitor that, then? I mean, I assume it's just factual stuff. No opinion goes on there anyway. But do we have any – I mean, is that something that should
again,
be checked
I'll tell
out?
You right now, you're probably going to get an email from a constituent or somebody that's not happy with something that's on Facebook. Mm-hmm. and that's how you'll react to it. And if I mean, that's just the way it's going to be. Somebody will perceive it as saying something that wasn't intended, and you'll just have to deal with it. That's part of the technology. It's a risk, but again, I think the purpose Phil's doing this is to reach his folks, which is important. Get them information about deadlines and stuff that they need to come in so they can help them.
Well, I would entertain a motion to approve Phil going ahead and using Facebook.
Okay.
Or whatever you want to do, because on here we even list and or other county offices.
I guess I would move that we go ahead and approve the use of Facebook page for the Veterans Service Office, and we'll consider any further restrictions that Phil wants to bring forward later at that time, but moving forward with what we have in our handbook.
I think that's a good idea, and plus any other offices that want to come up, take them at one at a time.
One at a time. They would request it.
Yes.
Second.
We have a motion to allow the Veterans Office to use a Facebook page and to, I guess, go over other county offices' requests as they are presented to us.
Well, so then there'll have to be a contact to MIPS to unblock that from county services, and then this is just a statement. It's the other elected officials. It's their office. It's up to them. It's they're elected. They're responsible. That's their deal.
Do you want to make that for all county offices, or do you want them to have to request?
I have no problem with doing that. I think there's value in all the offices being allowed to. Quite honestly,
so your motion.
I will amend
be
my motion to include all offices.
Allow the use of Facebook in all county offices.
Correct.
For official county business.
Because you're using
county resources and county time.
Got right.
If Galen wants to have a road closure Facebook page, there's probably some value to that.
There you go. Add that for official county business.
No.
So that's my.
Well, we have a motion now. Do we have a second to that? Now go ahead and ask.
Okay, so the question I have too, there was one question that was brought up when you had me do the survey on this records retention requirement. If you have it on Facebook and it's out there, how are you going to retain it? Do you see anything that we would have to deal with?
Well, the policy right now in the county is any Freedom of Information requests come to my office. Now, whether they come through you guys first, like Gus got the one, and he gave me a call. I said, scoot it over, took a look at it, responded within the statutory time frame, and said, we'll get to it when he's able to do it. And we're in a process. And I've had other requests from other
But this is the records retention where you're supposed to maintain your records for X amount of years. Certain records have to be retained. That was one IT's comment on that. How do you maintain your records retention on something that's posted and placed on that kind of social media? Do we need to do?
Because they'd be retaining the records, not the county server.
Right, right.
It's not...
So I don't know.
For informational purposes, it's not
It's not. There's nothing statutory about it.
Okay. That would be the only thing that
It may develop that way at some point. I mean, we're looking at sometime in the probably next 2 to 3 years, we won't have files. It'll be on a tablet, all of our records.
Sorry. Okay.
Wasn't it the rest state Supreme Court's going to make all of theirs are going to be electronic or something?
Filing, there's already some doing that. They're trying to push us towards that. Some of us are dragging, but it's going to be official, and then probably within a year it'll be mandatory.
Okay, the motion is to allow the use of Facebook in all county offices.
For business use.
Right.
And a motion by Lytle, a second by Bauman. Any more discussion?
I guess my fear still on this stuff is dallying around on the computer when you could be working. People do that for entertainment. I mean, that's what it is. It's an entertainment thing. I know there's information that gets out that way. It's information that gets out on email. When you look on Facebook, you see what somebody's eating for supper, and you see, I mean, there's, it's an entertainment thing. It is an
Well, that won't be allowed. This is for county business. We have this in the motion.
This here will be for county business, and I hope that that doesn't, I don't know how you would monitor, though, are we browsing that, and then what are the rules? We're browsing while I'm looking for this person. I don't know. I can see a lot of dallying around.
But on Facebook, there are activity logs that can be tracked. You can lock down. Yes. There is administrative rights that a person has. And if something is posted on there that shouldn't be on there, it should be removed. And as quickly as this came, it can go away if it's abused.
That's right. You know,
as far as my opinion with regard to the official county business is, we're not creating public record, but it's for the purpose of giving county general information. There's still processes in place set out to create public record and retain that, but I would concur with you that if this gets out of hand, it's just a bunch of nonsensical stuff, it goes away. But and I would hope we would lean on the professionals that are using that to use it appropriately.
Right. When your elected officials have to decide.
Yeah, if Dawn doesn't want to deal with it, she doesn't want then she won't deal with it.
Doesn't have to. But also at the same time, we a lot of times we hear from our constituents, and if there are things out there starting to show up on there or maybe that we don't deem correct, we will start hearing from constituents. And I guess at that time, then this board can handle those situations.
And stuff can be controlled that's put on there if you know, like people and friend people and follow people and all that. Look at me. Like I know what I'm doing. But, you know, there's ways to not allow people to do things like that.
I believe there is a great benefit to used properly. There's a great benefit for Facebook and the use by our county.
Heck, maybe if Lori had been using Facebook, maybe we wouldn't own a property down in Wymore right now.
Yeah.
It might have cost us more.
Might have been $20 rather than $10.
But for example, look at PD, Beatrice PD. They catch videos of criminals and stuff, and the counties have stuff that caught people and say, "Hey, do you know these characters and these people that are
they just have an article this week in the paper about the one individual down there using basically a comedy or whatever a little bit on her Facebook page, and that's how they're catching some of the. Bad guys, or whatever you want to call them. You know, there are very, very good uses for it, and if handled properly, it will be a good tool for the county and the employees.
I'm not so worried about things being put on it as time on it, I guess.
Will that lead to more time on the computer that's not county business? That's a valid question, yes.
Can I approach and say something?
Come on, Gus. Yep.
I just started on Facebook not long ago. Ours is strictly for work only. I have a policy in our manual for employees how to deal with social media, period. It's very stringent. And I've had to reprimand a couple already from when I did it a couple years back on that portion of it. But when it comes to Facebook, I only have two people allowed to use it, and that's my records tech and one of my road sergeants. And it's to enter things we want to put out to the public in a manner quickly to put it out there to them. That's resulted in one arrest for us making a case. But other than that, only two people touch the keys for our Facebook. Nobody else does anything with it, and it's strictly work-related. So I mean, everything's different. We do a little different. We're using it right now, actually, for background checks on our people. And I probably do that more than probably Donna would do on some of her people. But I research a lot of that even on Facebook. I'll go and look for it. So it's a good tool for elected official to go and look at that. So we've had absolutely no problem because I have a real tight thumb on how we do ours. So,
do they use Facebook on their smartphones, their personal Facebook?
No, it's strictly the desktops they have at the.
But their personal Facebook, are they allowed to check that during the day on their smartphones?
No. Well, if they have a break, they can check their cell phone, otherwise they can't have them in the jail anyway. And that's why we pay a stipend to the guys because they're on the phone a lot, work-related stuff. I personally am not a big guru on the technology. I just try to get the money to do the things, but some of the young guys, that's their thing. But they know when I walk through the room, I'll know who's screwing off with it and who isn't, because right away things change or they're not nervous or nothing about it. So I think I have a pretty tight handle on our stuff. So, yeah, it's just how you work it.
You're not a technology guru?
I just don't really care for it, but it is what it is. You got to move forward. So,
yes, you do.
But that's how we do it, and it's been very beneficial for us. So.
Yes. I was going to say, I know in law enforcement, and we use it a lot, not a lot, but more than I care to think about, checking everything from witnesses to jurors. And it's surprising how many times the defendants will get on Facebook and brag about doing what they're accused of being.
Yeah, you're right. You're exactly right. It's a good tool to have if you use it the appropriate way.
Yeah. Crazy.
And I'll just say this, Eric. I believe as we go forward, if other offices want to do it too, that just allows them to do it. But it's up to their department head, their elected official, to do just what Gus did, implement a policy so that that is watched closely and stuff. And I really believe that the people of the county will start letting us know in a hurry if there are things out there that shouldn't maybe be out there. So
I'd encourage them to do that too.
I would highly encourage them.
Absolutely.
So we have a motion to approve the use of Facebook for county offices for government use. And a second vote, 7-0. Anything else? Otherwise, we do have a closed session. We have a closed session for personnel discussion. We're also going to discuss the Wymore real estate situation in there, and then our legal counsel with Beatrice Six is here again, too, and we're going to get an update on that.
On the litigation.
So we're going to go into closed session at 10:36. Entertain a motion to go into closed session at 10:36 for the necessary for the protection of public interest, or for the protection of needless injury to the reputation of an individual.
So moved.
Second.
Vote 7-0. We'll take just a couple minute break here before we start on that.
Okay.
All right. Entertain a motion to come out of executive session at 12:04.
This one too.
So moved. Second.
Not very much.
A motion by Lytle, second by Bauman. Vote.
Okay. At least a preliminary look at the acres.
7-0 in favor. Anything else for the good of the order? Otherwise, meeting adjourned.
Meeting adjourned.